We're doing in Yaakov, we're up to page Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, page 66 in the standard editions, the beginning of the 8th chapter. We had discussed the idea that Hashem created in the world minor things that can scare major things. Said that Hashem created cures for harmful things, and we went through the different cures the Talmud discussed, and then the Talmud gave us 5 things that scare other things that are much bigger than them. This creature called a mafgia, that lets out of it. It's a small creature, but it makes a big noise and scares a lion. The Talmud discussed this fly called a yatush, that scares the daylights out of an elephant, etc. So now we're moving forward. Rabbi Zera ashkach l'Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Zera met with Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Yehuda is the second generation of Amoraim. Rav Yehuda was the son of Yechezkel. And Rav Yehuda was a disciple of Rav and Shmuel, who were both disciples of Rebbe. So Rav and Shmuel are the first generation of Amoraim. Rav Yehuda is their disciple. So Rabbi Zeira encountered Rav Yehuda, Dehavekai apitcha debei chamui. He was standing at the entrance to his father-in-law's house. Vechazye dehave bedicha da'atei. He found him to be in very good spirits. And he was in good spirits. He could have asked him anything that was going on in the world, and he would have answered him. Sometimes the Rebbe says, leave me alone, I don't have a head for it. Sometimes the Rebbe says, I need to concentrate, now I don't have a head for it. Sometimes the Rebbe says, you ask too many stupid questions in class, I don't want to deal with that now. But sometimes you come and he's in a position where you could ask him whatever you want, and he's going to answer you. Amale maitaima izi masgan bereisha. Vehadar am imre. He asked him, why do goats go first and afterwards we lead the sheep? Why do we always put a goat at the head of the flock? Amaleke b'riyato shel olam. He said it's like the way God created the world. Debereisha chashocha, first you have darkness, vehadar nehora, and afterwards you have light. Their goats were generally dark and their sheep were generally white. So he said, darkness always comes before light. And if we're to assume that the rabbis weren't just discussing what shepherds do, so then he was telling him, obviously there's some depth to this order in nature. And he told him, yes, this is elusive to a concept in life. That in life, very often, we're frustrated by things. You have a child and he's going to make a mess. And we have a... We have bookshelves at home. So we put our keys on a bookshelf. We have a 1.5-year-old who is learning to take the house apart. So now, my wife told me he's doing what none of the other kids did. He'll remove books from the bookshelves in order to climb the shelves to get to the keys. Now that's very dangerous. Go deal, right? Our other kids... we could lock the oven and he figures out how to turn on the gas while we're sleeping. That's scary. Yeah? Okay. Now you can't get upset at a kid for that. I mean, Friday afternoon, I see he figured out how to climb to the counter and examine all the pots to see what's cooking. That's dangerous. We had to invest 1,000 shekel a few weeks ago to put a new gate to ensure he doesn't run into the street, because he's figured out how to unlock doors and open doors, and he's giving us a very clever boy. Yeah, that's very good, right? But you know what? 1.5, right? So
he goes and he picks the locks.
Doesn't pick the locks, but he. So you start out, and a kid is going to drive you crazy. You start and bringing up kids the first few years, you're dealing with diapers. You're dealing with destruction. The Talmud says the rabbis used to buy old vessels for their kids to break because that's what kids know how to do. I'm saying, but you know what? Down the road, you're going to have a lot of light from that. If you're prepared for life, the way life works is whenever you start something, you begin with darkness, which leads to light. The form of creation, vayerev vayivoker. When God created, first there was darkness, then there was light. First you had a physical form of the Jewish people that were not doing too many mitzvot. But from that darkness came the great light of the Jewish people. This is a recurring theme in Judaism. that we believe that from the greatest darkness can come the greatest light. From Amalek comes the greatest sages of Talmud and Mishnah. Chazal tell us, Rabbi Akiva was a descendant of Sisra, the arch enemy of the Jewish people, a man who was as dangerous, if not more dangerous, than Pharaoh. So Chazal tell us that whenever we look at darkness, Chazal say there's potential for light. We don't look at anything and say that that thing is just evil. Even something that's the epitome of darkness, we say there's still potential for light. You look at an idea of incest and you say that's the most horrendous thing in the world. True. And yet David HaMelech came from Lot's intimacy with his daughters. So if Lot's daughters would come to Avraham Avinu and say, do we have a chance? Do our children have a chance? Are we ever going to be amount to anything after, look at what our children come from incest, so we made a mistake. But at the end of the day, they're mamzerim, they're bastards. What good can come of this? Torah says not that way. Torah says even the worst thing, good things can come of it. We don't promote bad things. We don't promote darkness. But when we look at something that comes from the darkness, we don't say that's destined to be evil or bad. We say darkness always precedes light. In creation, vayerev vayivoker. You see the sheep going? You see the dark goat leads the white sheep? That's the way life works. And this is a point of encouragement, because very often we give up at the moments when things are about to turn. When do most people buy stocks? Before they're about to collapse. When do most people sell stocks? Before they're about to rise. People break at the moment when, if they'd hold on a little bit longer, that's when things would work. How many times do people come to a bus stop and leave only to be 20 footsteps away and see the bus come when they can't make it anymore? Right? Had you waited another minute, that's exactly when the bus would have come. We usually break a moment before things would have turned better. And this is true in marriage, and this is true in a job. Sometimes you have to know when to say enough is enough and cut your losses. That's true. But the question, the wisdom is to know when you should hold on a little bit longer and things will get better. And that's the challenge. This idea, he's answering him and he's telling him, you look at the goat, you look at the sheep, you see a lesson for life. Darkness is what precedes light. Yes?
Are we saying that that is what came with Deborah and the king?
Ya'el and Sisera?
Ya'el and Sisera.
I don't know, I have to look for it.
Well,
Rav Chalap quotes it, but I saw another source for it recently.
I hope not.
And right now I don't remember where. I don't remember right now. Thursday night? That's a great question. If the answer were just yes or no, I would answer you. I bring it up on Thursday and we'll discuss it. Thursday night. I want to give you a full answer as best as I can. Not everything can... Okay, so the answer is maybe. My taima hani michsin vehani migalian. Why is it that the goats don't have a long tail and the sheep do have a tail? He answered him, so the sheep are more modest. Their backsides are covered. They have a tail. Hani de michsin an minayu michsin. The sheep provides coverage for people. People wear their clothing. They wear their wool. So that's why God made the sheep, that they have their own coverage as well. We don't use the goat's hides for clothing. They use them for making sacks and other things. So we don't cover ourselves from them. So Megalion. So Hashem left them uncovered as well. And this gives us insight to many concepts. This may be the basis for what Rav Hirsch writes, that Hashem gave hair to the human being wherever a human being should be modest. Your head is a place where you could feel, look at how great I am, Hashem gave you hair to cover it. Your face is a place where a person is most brazen, he looks you in the eye, he could fight you, right? And maybe the face should also have hair to teach you that you should be a little bit modest. Our private parts, every place Hashem gave us hair, Rav Hirsch says, the concept is, be aware that that place represents a place where you should be a little bit, you should have shame, you shouldn't be brazen about it. Where did Rav Hirsch get the concept from? Perhaps from this line in Talmud. Talmud. That the sheep was given, it's an honor that the sheep was given coverage. Does the sheep care if you see its private parts or not? Does it matter to the sheep? No. It's a concept for us. The way Hashem made the sheep teaches us something. My taima, he asked him, what's the reason? Gamla zutra genuvtei. Why is it that the camel has a small tail? He answered him, Mishum de achil kise, because the camel eats thorns, so if he had a long tail, he would hurt his tail as he has to go in the brush and get his food.
A camel?
Yeah.
That's why they have hairs on their tail.
No idea. I don't know. So here again, he taught us that Hashem was considerate of each creature so that they can get their food in a way that fits for them. Chazal tell us the raven, after it gives birth, the male flies away and does not support the female. Different lines in Medrash as to why. One line says that the eggs turn white, so the black raven looks at it and says, you cheated on me, those aren't my kids. Then when the babies are born, they look like they're not his, they're white, so he says, they're not mine, leave me alone. Another line says that the raven is a cruel creature, and so the raven turns his back on the kids. A third medrash says that the raven looks at the babies as the egg cracks, and when the babies start slithering out, they look like snakes, so he's scared for his life, so he flies away. Different lines in the medrash as to why the raven does this. At any rate, the pasuk says, Livnei orev asher yikrau. We say Hashem feeds everyone, even the raven's children who call out. So Chazal tell us that the raven is unique, and that the raven, its excrement, develops worms. And Hashem made it that way because the babies, when they're born, can peck at the excrements and get food. They peck at the excrements and they get their own the worms that come out of there. So
it's quite normal for excrement, isn't
what?
It? Isn't that quite normal for excrement?
I don't know if any other bird has that feature, though. That they can excrete in their nest and then have food from their own excrement? I don't know. Chazal stressed that was the raven. Chazal said, you see, even the raven, Hashem took care of him. That until the raven grows old enough that its parents come back, the raven is also taken care of. So this is a recurring theme in Chazal, that when we observe nature, we should observe the consideration that's invested in nature. And this goes back to what we studied in the beginning of this year. The Chazon Ish writes that there's a constant gnawing doubt that man has to contend with, and that is that deep down inside, man tells himself, everything I'm doing in all of my life would be worth something if I could have clarity that God exists and that He gave us the Torah. And man is always searching for a feeling of confidence in what he believes in. And that sometimes can overtake man to the point where man feels like everything else I'm doing has no value if I can't get clarity on that point. And then the Chazon Ish went on to discuss the idea that if we take time to observe nature, if we take time to observe the order of the world, then the observation of how even the human being is formed would develop within us the sense that there must be a planner, because there's an order to the system we live in. If we had fingers on our feet, if our hands did not have fingers, if we didn't have eyes, if we didn't have the capacity, if we didn't have an immune system, the Chazon Ish goes step by step analyzing the nature of man, and he describes how by perceiving the wonderful order of man, we can appreciate that there was a planner. Benny, we got 5 minutes. Let's talk after class. So the Talmud over here, he's asking him questions about the world, and he tells him from each point there's what to learn. He asked him, why was the camel given a short tail? He says, because it's in his interest, so that when he consumes, he won't hurt himself in the thorn bushes that he ordinarily eats. My time at Torah Aricha Genuvte. Why is it that the ox has a long tail? Mishum Didayo Be'agame, because oxen usually graze near the swamps, near the ponds. And the ox has to deal with the mosquitoes that are going to be ever present near the ponds where he finds his food. My taima kauna de kamtza rekicha. why is it that the locust, some type of locust called kamtza, right? Later on, in a few weeks, we'll discuss kamtza and bar kamtza, the famous story about the destruction of Jerusalem, and perhaps we'll even be able to go into depth as to why kamtza was called grasshopper. Right, kamtza, we just learned in Talmud, is a grasshopper. So why was that really his name, grasshopper? Grasshopper and son of grasshopper? The story of kamtza and bar kamtza? So perhaps we'll learn the story maybe next week already. Next week's already going to be Tammuz. So next week maybe we should start learning the stories of the destruction of the temple. And then after we've learned them on a basic level, we could revisit it with more depth, because Chazal have a tremendous amount of insight from the stories. Perhaps next week we'll start that. But here we see the kamtza is our grasshopper. Why does the grasshopper have horns that are soft? Grasshopper has these little horns coming out, right? And they're soft. Why? Mishum didayre bechilfe. Because the grasshopper has to go through all kinds of dry places, and he has to go through all kinds of brush. The kashya nadia umitavra. If his horns would have been hard, so then when he goes through the different trees to consume whatever he eats, then the horn would sometimes bump into something which would knock into his eye and blind him. So Hashem made it that his horns are soft, so that even when he bumps into things as he hops between the trees, so it doesn't blind him, because it's really connected to the basis of his eye, and if it were so tough, it could get caught on things more easily, be plucked out, and blind him. So, again, Chazal went from little things. Rambam says, very often we look at major things. You look at the galaxies, you go out at night, whenever you go on a trip, as Hashem, you guys will go on a tiyul, pretty soon the Mahon's planning one. Try, when you get away from the city, to go out at night and look at the stars. Says the Rambam, when you look at the stars, as the verse says in Tehillim, Ki yirei shamecha maaseh etzbotecha, when I see your heavens, the handiwork of your fingers, and then I think, Ma'enosh ki tizkerenu, what's man? How come you give any consideration to man? So when we walk out and look at the awesome things in nature, we can see their bone show, and we can come to a revelation. Okay, I'm not so big. There's a huge world out there, and that allows me to start seeing beyond my little self, which allows me to see that there's a bigger creator. Says the Rambam, you could also see it in the smallest things. You don't only have to look at the major, the macro picture in order to see God. When you look at the micro, you take a microscope, you start understanding how virus works, how our genome structure, you start to understand why one gene, the one chromosome is off, and the whole being, a human being, is developed differently. So you can see God in the small things. So perhaps that's part of what Chazal were teaching us here when they analyzed little things in nature and said, look at God in that too. There was a reasoning to that as well. My time, why is it that the rooster, he has his eyelids, so the rooster has a lower eyelid that shuts. Meaning we have upper eyelids that shut. The rooster, he shuts his eyelids from the bottom. Madli leila didare adve. Why is it that his lower eyelid overlaps his upper eyelid? And he closes his eyes the opposite from all of God's other creatures. I want to pause for 1 second, and with this we'll conclude. Who notices these things? Right? Whether the upper eyelid comes down, the lower eyelid goes up. He has a tail, he doesn't have a tail, he has a longer tail, he has a shorter tail. I don't understand. Isn't your head in the Talmud all the time? Where do you have time to notice this? You're a rabbi, aren't you learning Torah all the time? So there's a beautiful Dvar Torah. It says, Moshe walked by a burning bush, and the bush was burning, and it wasn't yet consumed. It continues burning, and the bush is still there. So, okay, you could say it's in the desert. A bush shows you there's water underneath. If there's water, the water holds off the fire. Well, then something should happen here. You can't have a fire and the bush stays lush and green and nothing's happening to that cactus. So what does it say? Moshe said, let me go over there and see. Why isn't that bush burning? What does the next pasuk says? Vayar Hashem kisar lirot. Hashem took note that Moshe stopped his path and went to see something extraordinary in nature. And then Hashem speaks to Moshe. So there is a commentary that says on that pasuk that other people also saw that bush. Moshe wasn't the only one who saw a bush with something extraordinary happening. But when Moshe stopped and said, God's doing something unique here, what's going on? And he went off to take a look. So then Hashem said, okay, then I want to talk to you. In life, there are moments where you could see the Ribbono Shel Olam. You could see awesome things Hashem does. Yes, if a person's learning, you're not supposed to stop learning to go to the zoo or to pay attention to the trees and the birds chirping. You're learning now. Focus on your learning. But you're not always learning. There are moments where you're walking out with the sheep. There are moments where you're doing other things. And then Hashem says, take a minute, take a look. Wait a second, I created a world. Why don't you appreciate the beauty, the awesome world I created? Shlomo Zalman, they once asked him, how do you view the university students? So he said, it's very interesting. Whenever I go on the bus and there are university students next to me, I'm listening in, I learn from them. What do you mean, how do I view them? So Rav Shlomo Zalman, black hat, Meir Sharim, learn Torah every 3 minutes. But you have minutes you're not learning Torah. There's beautiful wisdom out there to appreciate. There's nature to appreciate. And through nature, we see God as well. So here we see the rabbis are discussing things they noted in nature. They're giving us insights to the world, to Hashem's planning of the world. They also noted the nature they lived with. They took note of the beauty, the uniqueness of the nature around them. And he answered him, he says, because the rooster is very often jumping on things, and there's smoke that rises, the Ayl Kitra Mitavra, and the way the rooster's eye is built, the rooster, which was situated in their homes all the time, Rabbi Feinstein once mentioned to us in class that he remembers growing up in Russia, they had chickens and roosters running in the house. They lived with the roosters. So the rooster was found in the house with them. That's why we make a blessing every morning over the alarm clock. The rooster was given the intellect to know it's day and wake us in the morning. So they lived with the roosters in the house. So the rooster was jumping around, and the rooster would very often be on top of the shelves, I guess like my 1.5-year-old son. And the rooster could be blinded by the smoke if it didn't have the eyelids that come up from the bottom. And obviously this answer also has more depth. We don't have time for it today. To be continued next week.